This episode is brought to you by Gin & Co., author website design specialists. If you want a beautiful and functional website to promote your books and brand, reach out to Gin today. His work includes tailored, expertly designed professional author websites. I finally have a website I'm proud to share. And we've got a special offer for Words and Nerds listeners. Reach out today and get a free domain name and website hosting for the first year. You can get their website essentials package, includes domain name, website hosting, backup and security, free for the first year with any website purchase. This is valued at $330 a year. Choose a website designed to bring your author brand to life. You can find more details about this special offer at ginand.co/wordsandnerds. Welcome to the 2024 series of the Words and Nerds podcast. I'm Danny B, author, publisher, and your podcast host. With over 1 million plays, thanks to you, listeners, readers, writers, creatives, teachers, librarians, and book lovers, thank you for coming along for the journey where we bring you relaxed and real conversations about writing and creativity. If you love an episode, you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram or Facebook at Danny V Words and Nerds Podcast. Or you can check out my brand new website designed by Gin & Co. at dannyv.com.au. Welcome to the Words and Nerds Podcast, where we bring literary goodness straight to your ears. Today, we're doing something different. We're having an unscripted creative conversation, which could be very dangerous because my guest is Adam Wallace.
Hey, Danny, long time listener, first time caller.
It sounds like, do you remember, you're a tiny bit older than me, but we're the same sort of vintage. Do you remember the love song dedication guy?
Yes, I love that. And he had the best voice ever.
He had the best. Do the voice. Do you reckon you can do the voice?
And now we've got a request for...
Oh, my God, that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, they were always, like, ringing and they were, like, in jail. It was never a normal relationship. It was like they were in jail or, like, you know, they'd been running from the law, or it was always, it was never just your straightforward, can I dedicate this song to my girlfriend?
I love that. I like to dedicate a song to, I've got to go, got to go.
I'm on the run.
It's for Katie. It's for Julie.
So for anyone wondering, this is completely unscripted. I mean, that I know it's scripted. Hard to believe.
I want someone to script that.
I was just saying to you before we started recording that I, you know, have spent 6 years promoting people's books, which I love, and I'll continue to do that. But my brain's like, what else can I do? What else can I do? You know, it's the ADHD, where's the shiny thing? And so I thought, let's just have unscripted conversations about creativity. So for those who don't know you, Adam Wallace, A, they must be living under a rock in a cave, with a rock against the cave. But you are author of many books. You have sold a bajillion books, not even exaggerating, and some of them are...
It's a bajillion and two now.
Oh, bajillion. Did you just sell some then as we were talking?
I sold two today, yeah.
The How to Catch series, there's How to Catch a Unicorn, How to Catch a Leprechaun, How to Catch a... What else?
Easter Bunny, or How to Catch the Easter Bunny, How to Catch a Mermaid, How to Catch a Gingerbread Man.
I love them. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, let's not name them all. You get the drift.
Yeah, How to Catch Stuff.
How to Catch Stuff. We've got Fart Boy, we've got Fart Club, we've got Farty Pets. Bit of a theme here, Adam. We've got Pugnacious and Scuttlebutt. We've got upcoming work, Numbskull and Nincompoop. I know I've missed a lot, but you've been around for a lot. I think that'll do. What do you reckon?
I think it'll do. Look, it's so cool hearing that sort of stuff. And speaking about books, because it took, I know this is less sort of on creativity in a way, because I mean, it took me 8 years to get my first book published. And
wow.
I self-published after 6 years, five mm-hmm. years, 6 years. And yeah, so it's so cool hearing just even that list of books going, I at one point thought I wouldn't have one.
Wow.
Like, I just couldn't.
How many are there? Do you know how many there are in total? Like you said, 13 of that series. Do you reckon you have a ballpark?
I've got a list. Last time I checked, I think it's about 157.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. If I was a fancy podcaster, I would have pressed the round of applause button. Crowd goes wild, but totally unscripted here. Well, that's amazing. And I do want to hear about the 8 years that you spent trying to get published and not getting
I spent
published.
crying.
Crying, crying to get published.
I'll do anything.
I know
Mine. Oh.
how that feels. I was in that boat a couple of years ago. You
Yeah.
think, oh my God. And I always think, oh, it's such this weird thing to think, but I'm like, 96-year-old Danny's gonna be so sad if she never got published.
Yeah, but you'd still look 60, so you'd be fine.
Well, still have another 30 years up my sleeve. So tell me about these 8 years.
Well, it's true. You do kind of think that your brain does go ahead going, but I wanted to do this. And I've got this little quote in my, well, there's a couple of quotes. I love quotes. We might have a few quotes in this little conversation. So one is, no matter what, you're going to be okay. And I'm like, yeah, you kind of
I
are.
like
And the
that.
other one is, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. And I
Unless
really
you're
like that as well.
96.
Sorry?
Unless you're 96, might be the
Well,
end.
who knows how long you're going to live? You might have another. You might have another 6 months. Might get to 97. You never know. But it's true, and in the end, it's true. Like, and if it hadn't worked, well, the thing about writing, and I think you're probably similar. I was going to write anyway. Like, I'd probably still be writing now, even if nothing had been picked up at all. And I just love writing so much. So that would have kept going. But when I had that sort of vision of wanting to get published, I'm like, I'm gonna give it a crack. And so, yeah, just I think I gave up on writing after school, and I didn't write for 10 years, did engineering and all that sort of stuff, and went full maths. And then this time when I started getting rejected, I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna just keep going. And then got to a point, I actually wrote about this morning. I got to a point where I'm like, maybe I should just write what I think publishers will want, as opposed to writing what I'm really enjoying writing. I'll write stuff, which happened to me at school. I thought I'll write stuff that I don't like, but to try and get published, just to get in the door sort of thing. And then I read this quote by Bruce Lee, and it's not exactly this, but it's along these lines of, was it at the start of his essay? And it was, I will write what I'm going to write. If it connects with you, that's beautiful. If not, can't be helped. And I'm like, oh. Not everyone's going to like what I write. I don't like what everything I read or watch on movies or TV. So I thought, I'm just going to write what I'm going to write and just keep pushing and pushing it. And again, still nothing got picked up. So I ended up just getting to the point where I was working at a school before and after care, reading to the kids and loving reading to the kids. And they were really good and really good feedback. I remember one time I had five kids sitting in front of me and I was trying this story. I sent them a little bit of paper, reading it to them. It was one page, wasn't that long. Halfway through, two of them just without a word, two of them at once stood up, walked off, went to do something else. And I'm like, all right, that one's not working. So,
Best feedback
great,
ever.
right, best feedback ever. But I love that. I love that honesty about it and just going, right, that's either crap, I've got to fix it, or just chuck it out and do something else. And because I hadn't written for 10 years, I was just. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of stories I wrote in those first couple of years. I was writing on the train to work, on the train home, at my lunch break. And yeah, ended up just going, you know what? They're loving it. I'm going to try self-publishing and just see what happens. And maybe without that, it might have happened anyway. But I think without that, it wouldn't have actually. I think I would have probably petered out from submitting at some point, potentially, and just written for myself.
There's so many things I want to ask you about, and this is unscripted, so I've really got to go into deep depths of my brain. First thing, love Bruce Lee. I grew up watching Bruce Lee movies, so there's
Oh, he's
that.
so good. He's so
I think
good.
a movie
Oh,
night
man.
is in our future, Adam Wallace.
Bruce
Bruce
Lee
Lee.
Extravaganza. I've got them all on DVD.
Oh my God, let's do it. All right, we digress.
So surprised.
Yeah, I know. If we even talk about books or creativity in the next 20 minutes, it'll be a
It'd be
massive
a
shock.
miracle.
Massive shock. So I've already forgotten what I was going to say. Yes. So I really like the idea of that authenticity because I think as you get older, I don't know if this is the same for you, but you just kind of give less craps. I cleaned that up a lot. And I just think it's so important to be yourself more than anything. I remember growing up and trying to fit in these boxes, maybe in my 20s, trying to be this or that because you thought that was what you were supposed to do. And I wish I'd never done that at all. I'm trying to teach my kids never to do that, but it's hard when you're younger.
It's hard, yeah.
And I just think authenticity in everything you do, in, in socials, in writing, in being human and being, with people and never being anywhere where you're not welcome or you're bored or whatever, just that full authenticity. Do you think it can be done as a human?
You know what? It's the ideal, and but I reckon it totally can, and I think you can get to that point where, well, a little bit with right now, you still want people to like it, obviously, and in life we still want people to like us, but at the same time, I think you can get to that point where I'm going to be me, and if you like it, that's great. If not, I'll find other people who want to hang out with me. That's
There's
fine, and dig
8 billion people, right? Chances are you'll find someone.
at least one, right? He's like, oh, look, I'm fine for an hour. I'll be back sooner. Oh, yes.
It different? Like when you find your people, your group of
Oh.
people, a partner who's your people, just it's game changing, right? And you're just like, oh, I can just be entirely myself without having to, mask this
Got
or
any airs and
whatever.
graces?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What are airs and graces?
I don't know. I put on airs and people don't like it.
It's a game changer, right?
It massively is. It really is just a game changer, just in that being so comfortable in yourself. And one of my favorite things in the last couple of years is reading a lot through reading, like read all Bruce Lee stuff, went into Alan Watts, which went into Zen. And the Zen thing is so cool, where one of their big things is not putting labels on things. And so, for example, there's this great example where there's this like a not a guru, but someone talking to people about Zen. And he holds up a box of matches. And he's like, "What's this?" And they're like, "It's a box of matches." He's like, "Cool. What do you do with it?" Like, you get a match out, you light it, and you do so. And he goes, "All right, cool." He starts shaking it and dancing. He's like, "What is it now?" They're like, "It's a musical instrument." He's like, "Right." He throws it and he hits someone in the head. He's like, "What is it now?" Like, "It's a weapon." He's like, "Don't label stuff. Like, we restrict everything if we label it." And so all that sort of thing. But then also that situations are neither good or bad. We make them good or bad by the way we think
Yeah,
about them.
and
But
react
in
to
Zen, a
them.
situation is a situation. What are you going to do now? Like, you don't look at it as good or bad. You go, what am I going to do next? And I think it's
Wow.
similar with the writing and with people and acting authentically. I'm going to act like this. You're going to respond that way. Okay, what am I going to do next? I might respond to that, or I might go, nice knowing you, and leave. And we're allowed to do that. We don't have to, like, we can be polite, but we don't have to stay in something and keep the
Right?
conversation or keep the relationship or keep the whatever.
But
That we
there's a
do.
belief that you have to, right? And this is exactly something that I'm trying to teach my kids and just like talk about in general, is that I read something where this woman went to what's the hot yoga called? Bikram yoga?
Bikram, yeah.
So they're really in the hot room and this yoga teacher was like, this is what we do. We work hard. No one leaves. You stay here until the end. And this woman was feeling really sick, but very pressured to stay. And it's not the law to go to Bikram yoga, but she
I
stayed
wouldn't have
and she
thought so.
stayed. She got up and she passed out and they had to call an ambulance. And she said, never again will I ever let anyone dictate me how I'm feeling. I'm
Amazing.
gonna trust myself. And that was a real eye-opener for me because we are taught to be polite, which is
Yeah.
important in some situations. We are taught to conform. And I think you've got to know when to do that and when not to do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we can, and even in that, you can still be polite. Thank you so much. I'm going to go home. Hey, well, it's like in movies. We go to a movie and we hate it, but we stay till the end. It's
No,
like,
I
just get up
don't.
and walk out.
I don't. I walk
Really? See, I've
out.
never walked out of one.
Oh, yes, I do. If I don't like life's too short. If three chapters
It
into a book, I'll
is.
put it down if I'm not enjoying it. If I don't like a movie, I'll walk out. Everyone looks at you, but you just look forward and don't look to the side. I've
Yeah,
even
or you just
walked
go, whoop, whoop.
This movie sucks.
Yeah, I'm
See ya,
out.
losers.
Yeah, enjoy your crap movie, losers.
I know you all want to walk out too, but you don't have the guts. I've
Suckers.
even walked out on a musical that I wasn't enjoying halfway through.
Oh, wow.
I don't feel like I need to stay in these
Right.
situations.
And you don't, and you're right, life is too short. And a lot of people will be like, oh, but I spent $20, so I got to stay. Who cares? Or it's like, oh, but I've invested 10 years into this friendship. Doesn't matter. Like, you want things to continue that are giving you, that are lifting you up and giving you
That's right.
energy. And if they're not, you either try and fix it, and if you can't, you go.
Yeah,
Like,
that's right.
pretty
That's right.
simple,
If it's
really.
not serving you, it's probably not serving them. You know, we're talking about friendships and
Absolutely.
relationships here. So then, you know, and I think it's okay for people to come in and out of your life. Like, I think that's okay.
Absolutely. I love that we're getting creative and now we're giving relationship advice
Right.
to
Oh my God.
people.
And please, nobody follow relationship advice from me. Like, definitely.
I mean,
I'm the last person you should ever follow relationship.
we need one of those things, warning, we are not professionals.
Warning. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, maybe I could give other advice. Relationship.
That's
No,
it.
that's not
But
me.
we do, but you know what? In saying that, like we've learned from experiences and to the point where we're like, and I think a lot of people wouldn't like hearing this relationship advice, but to sort of go, this isn't working. We'll try, but I'm not going to stay in this for another 10 years, which is what we do.
Oh, we do, we do, we
Even
do.
when it's obviously like you've tried, you try. You don't just move out of the,
No.
jump out of the drop of a hat. You give it a crack, but it's not working. It's okay. You
Yeah.
don't have to stay in stuff that, yeah, is draining your energy.
But society creates that, right? And marriage, let's just talk about marriage here. Knew we wouldn't talk about books.
I love a good marriage book.
That was constructed a really long time ago when it was about property and ownership, particularly of women, and shorter lifespans. You know,
Yeah,
perhaps
right.
that doesn't translate into, guess what? I'm allowed to own my own property now. I'm really excited. Allowed to vote too.
What?
I
Hey, when
know
did that
what.
come in? Hang on now.
You know, general lifespan is getting longer and longer. You know, maybe the way we have viewed marriage in the past isn't working for everyone today. And
Yeah,
I'm sure there are
absolutely.
happily married people listening to this, and well done to
Oh,
you.
you're right. No, I'm sure there is. Yeah. No, you're right. I'm sure there is. But also, I think you're right. Like, and I read a book by Eat, Pray, Love, Elizabeth Gilbert,
Yes, Eat, Pray, Love.
Commitment.
Yeah.
And she talks about that where she's like, the life expectancy was like 40 or 30 or something when marriage came in, not 78. And so
Yeah.
that's a lot of difference. And
It is.
but also, and because you grow, and there's a great Whitney Cummings, a comedian. She talks about it where she's like, she goes, I didn't used to believe in marriage, and now I do, but I also believe in divorce. And she goes, I want to grow. I want to be growing and improving all the time. And that sometimes means you're going to grow at different speeds to a
Yeah.
friend or a partner or work acquaintance or whatever. And that's okay. Like,
It's okay
you're
not to
allowed to.
know. Yeah, it's okay not to know as well, because I was really conflicted a couple of years ago, and I was like, I don't know what I think of marriage, and I want to know. Like, I want to be standing either on yes, I believe in marriage, or no, I don't. And it's this processing in my brain. I'm like, well, why do I need to be yes or no? Why can't I just not know? It's okay not to know, right?
And I think a lot of times we do, there is always that pressure to do it, but we do put it, it's black or white, it's this
Yeah,
or that.
what do you
But it's
believe?
not always as well.
But
Yeah.
life isn't
And
black and white, and life's not
life
linear.
isn't black and white. Yeah. And even looking at marriage, I have a theory where, like, everyone's like, oh, 50% of marriages break up. This is terrible, blah, blah, blah. I think personally, like 95% of relationships, well, actually, in the end, 100% of relationships end, right? Someone's going to die, even if you stay together. But like, I can even look at me. I haven't had a lot of relationships, but even if someone has three relationships, whatever that means in terms of time, and then is together with someone for the rest of their life, they're still on a 75% breakup ratio, right? And so that idea of it's a bit like the idea that we're going to die. So live your life. Like, we can take it either way. We're going to die. This is terrifying. I won't take any risks. Or we're going to die. Oh my God, I'm going to live my life. Like, in a relationship, there's a chance this relationship, the chance this relationship is going to end, just going by the numbers. Let's just have the best time while we're in it.
Have the best
Let's
time.
enjoy it. Let's love each other's company and love each other. And if things change and we go different directions, that's fine as well. We've had an amazing time. So yeah, I think we get stuck on the marriage thing, and the marriage is the most important thing. Because even that 50% that don't break up, I mean, not all of them are happy. I mean, I was part of the marriage that hadn't broken up, and we'd had a lovely marriage, but the last few years weren't great, and we stayed in it really trying to work it out. But we were part of that still married, but we weren't happy for the
Yeah,
last few years. And I
that's
think
right.
that the stats are skewed in those
I agree.
things.
I agree. And you don't wake up one morning and go, "Don't think I'll be married today."
I think I'm done. I'm done.
It takes years to process that, even the end of a relationship doesn't even have to be a marriage because, I don't know, it's weird. I think, and it's very difficult, I think, I don't know about you, but for a woman, it's very difficult to change your brain around because every fairy tale you read, happily ever after, they get married. Every rom-com, happily ever after, they get married. And so it's very hard to undo that in your brain because that's what everyone has expected from you as a kid when you get married. Look at this rom-com, look at this fairy tale. And so it's very hard to undo, and you've actually got to proactively undo that, undo those thoughts in your own brain.
Yeah, that conditioning. And also we're taught if you make a commitment to something, you see it through, like you stick it out, and not just marriage, with other things as well. And I think people do it in jobs as well, and marriage relationships,
Everything.
and even friendships. And even where you live, sometimes you might hate the place you live, but people don't move just because they hate the place. Well, that's silly to move just because I don't like it here.
You're not a
No, it's not.
tree. I think that's true. And I think, people say don't be a quitter, but I actually think there's bravery in quitting if it's not serving you anymore, if it's not providing you with joy. Like, it's okay to quit. I've done heaps of stuff, and some people call it what was that? Frivolous. Maybe I'll call it lots of hobbies because I've got ADHD, but I'm always willing to try stuff, right? I'm always
And
willing
that's
to try
great.
stuff, and if it doesn't work, well, if I've had a good time, not everything works. Like, you 8 years you spent trying to be published. I wrote my whole life but didn't submit because I was like, oh, this isn't good enough. So God knows how many years I didn't even try and get published.
Years.
Yeah, so I think it's just you gotta try stuff. And my friend gave me this great advice the other day. I was having some health issues, not life-threatening but life-impacting, and she was like, it's okay to be brave and scared at the same time.
Yeah, I
And I was
like
like,
that.
oh, that's actually really cool because, I've been quite open with my anxiety, and usually it's just always a scared feeling. I'm like, no, I can be brave about this as well. I can be both. And so
Yeah, that's
that's really
lovely.
interesting, isn't it? I think it's a new
It
tattoo.
really is. That's really good. And that being brave and scared at the same time is a bit like, and even being scared gets a bad rap. Like, fear is not the worst thing in the world. Like, fear can save us, like it can be protective, but also it can make us do things beyond our comfort zone as well, which is where we grow. And then things like quitting or failing get such a bad name. But why, if you try something and doesn't work out, why is that a fail? Because like even a marriage, or even if you try circus training and you do it for a term, it doesn't work out, and you don't do it ever again, people are like, oh, you didn't go anywhere with that. That's a fail. Or you do a uni course and you don't do that. Oh, that's a fail. No, it's not. I had an awesome time. I studied really hard. I worked well. I had made amazing friends. Or in a marriage, like people might have kids, or people, we have got a great had a great time for the first whatever time. Like, it's not failure. And even quitting, it's not. Why is it quitting? Why isn't it just I'm choosing a different direction?
Yeah,
Like,
and why
that's
does everything have to have an end point? I
yes.
have to study this to become this. Why can't you just study it because you want to learn how to do ceramics or make a dodgy vase? Why can't I just want to do it?
Yeah, I reckon you could definitely make a dodgy vase.
Oh, easy. No training at all, I could make a dodgy vase.
Done. Look at this. No training at all.
That's very interesting. So, I don't know, we might talk about books again. Who knows? Got very deep there. But I need to read that Zen book. Might change my life, actually.
Oh, read the Zen stuff. Alan Watts, The Way of Zen, is amazing. And Bruce Lee's philosophies. I've got his a book on his essays, and it's amazing. Like, just the stuff he writes about. He talks about other philosophers, but yeah, the Zen stuff, it is kind of life changing. It's so freeing in a lot of ways when something happens. It's that old story. I think it's a Chinese folk tale where there's a farmer and his horses run away, and everyone's like, oh, this is terrible, this is awful, this is the worst. He's like, good, bad, who knows? And then the next day, oh no, I think like he had one horse, it runs away. The next day the horse comes back, but it's brought like six wild Brumbies with it. And everyone's like, that's amazing, got new horses. Like, bad, who knows? Next, a week later, his son's trying to break in one of the Brumbies, falls off, breaks his leg. I was like, oh, that's terrible, that's terrible. He can't help. He's like, good, bad, who knows? A little bit later, a war breaks out. The son doesn't have to go to war because he's got a broken leg. And I'm like, it's amazing. Like, good, bad, who knows? And it's like, we don't know. And then stuff that happens that we think is the worst thing ever, in 1 or 2 or 5 years' time, we're like, Oh my God, that was the best thing that happened to me. Like, especially with things like breakups, you're like, you're heartbroken, devastated. And then you meet, your soulmate 2 years later who just gives you the greatest life ever. And it's like, if I hadn't have broken up with that person, that wouldn't happen. And so things, we label these things good and bad, and we don't know. We don't know the good
It's
or bad. They're
true.
just, there's things that happen, and we still celebrate and get excited or get sad and all that sort of thing. But
I think that's okay as well. Like, I think our society is so caught up on be happy, be happy, be happy, be happy. But I think it's okay to feel stuff. Like, I'm one of those weirdos who, if I'm feeling sad or anxious, I will just happily sit in it, you know, and I'm not crying because of any reason. I'm just getting it out of my body. You know what I
It's a
mean?
release.
It's a release. And, you know, and I was, when I was, you know, because I've always had anxiety, but when I first had my kids, I was like, oh, I must shield them from my anxiety. And then I was like, actually, no, I need to show them that I'm a human being and that some days I'm, you know, kick ass, can do everything. And some days I'm crying and, you know, sitting in the anxiety or whatever it is. And I think that's okay because I don't think, I just hate that culture that, remember that in the 90s was that soldier on culture? Doesn't matter if you're sick. Just take this tablet and just soldier on. It's like,
It's in the ads, yes.
why do I have to soldier? Why can't I just be sad or be sick and just rest my body? Because, you know, Brené Brown, I believe this so fully, is that your body keeps score, right? And I know this about myself because I'm always sprinting, sprinting metaphorically. Of course, I would never sprint in real life. That would be
I've never
ridiculous.
seen you run.
Yeah, no, it's never going to happen unless, I don't know, there's a really good hot chocolate waiting for me, and it was only 200 meters.
Oh, but it's going to go cold if you don't get there
Maybe
soon.
50 meters. What am I thinking? I can't run 200 meters. That's like a
But
long
you
way.
do. Yeah, and we've talked about this where it is like we do like the way we are, and we get excited and we do like do that project, do that, do that, do that. And we love it when we're doing it.
I love
But
it.
eventually our body or our brain just go, you know what? You're gonna take a rest. Here you go. Fold. And it's
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And
stop for
so
a
I'm trying to
second.
take those purposeful rests before my body does it for me. Because my body will do that for me in anxiety, or it will do it in for me, you know, you get sick or get a head migraine or whatever. And so what I'm trying to do this year, you know, not with moderate success, it's only April, is to try and go, no, I have to rest before my body tells me and collapses into whatever it does. So it's been a good lesson, which I learnt early this year when I was in Byron for a week. And I was like, let's try not to do anything. Let's not work, you know, being a workaholic. Let's just read and let's eat and let's walk on the beach. And I managed to do that for like 6 days.
That's
And I
amazing.
just felt the anxiety leave my body. I'm like, oh, like, I know it sounds pretty obvious when I say it, but I was like,
But
oh,
it's
this
not.
is what I needed to do. I needed to cat like take care of myself. That's self-care. Oh, it's really interesting.
Self-care. And it's
Conscious
that thing is.
self-care. My counselor said, oh, do you self-care? Of course I do. Like, you know, I of course I do. I have a treat here and there. And he's like, no, you're missing the point. Conscious self-care. And I was like, oh, so I've actually got a list above my desk that I need to look at more often, even though it's in front of my face every day, about conscious self-care. And one of those is rest, you know, there's meditation, there's have a bath, but just taking those, whether they're little or they're big, making sure you do those conscious self-care things every day. Like, I thought it was a bit silly when he said it, and then when I started thinking about it, I'm like, oh, that's actually really smart.
Because it's easy to tick a box, isn't it? It's easy to go, oh, yeah, I had a bath, but you're in the bath working. Oh, yeah, I had a cup of tea, but you're doing something else while you're doing it. You're not actually just sitting and, soaking up that moment. My sister is a massive workaholic, and probably, and you know how bad me and you are. She's probably us combined. Like,
What an inspiration. I mean,
We need to get to that level. She's incredible, and the results show, but she also does just get tired and burn out. And the other day she said that she just she'd heard that, which apparently is true, you wake up, go straight to your phone. It's not great. If you can get like the natural light earlier and get out in fresh air first thing, it actually helps you sleep better than at night because your body gets in the rhythm. So she said, I've just got my cup of tea, just went and sat out on the deck and had my cup of tea. And she said, just for that 5 minutes, she was there, as you said, conscious and aware and just having and just looking out, feeling the breeze type thing. She said it changed her day instead of being straight into the on the phone. So yeah, I think the conscious is a big thing, and actually resting and sitting in it. And it's interesting because again, so much of what happens with us is clearing up the symptoms. So we get a painkiller
Yeah.
when we've got a headache, or we get antibiotics when we're sick, as opposed to doing the things that stop us getting the headache or getting sick. And
Yeah, it's
so
so
if you can get
true.
on top of it early, then you probably won't need that other, you won't need the holiday to which you just spend the whole time unwinding because you've gone too far.
Adam, you've gone too far. I need the holiday.
Oh, go. I'll allow
I need to
it.
go to Byron. Come on.
Have a
No.
holiday. Come down here and watch some Bruce Lee, man. What is
Oh,
it?
yes, that sounds amazing. We're going to do that for sure.
Oh,
Sure, it's going to be
I went and
awesome.
saw End of the Dragon at Moonlight Cinema, and just every now and then the whole crowd, like he'd take his top and he'd flex, and the whole crowd would go, "Oh, it was unreal."
My uncle lived with us for a time when I was little, and there's not a huge age gap between us, and he loved the Bruce Lee movies, and then we started getting into the Van Damme movies. So I get home, I
Oh.
was like in year five, and I get home at 3 o'clock, and we just sit and watch Bruce Lee and Van Damme movies all afternoon.
This is the greatest afternoon ever. Bloodsport. I love
Right.
Van Damme.
And my mum's like, I'm not sure about my 9-year-old daughter watching this. I'm like, shh, this is really good.
Is an important part, Mum. Settle
Respect
down.
the craft, Mum. Come on.
Exactly. Where's my milk and cookies?
I can
Something
karate
you could
chop
probably have
them.
them.
There was a post that you put on earlier in the year, I think, about 100 rejections in a
Ah.
year, writing a lot, blah, blah, blah. So if you must be writing a lot in a space of a year, or do you collect them? Tell me about this, because I feel like I try and write in all the cracks of my life, but that seems like a really sort of prolific number.
Yeah, I do, well, I try and write every day, for starters. I'm also lucky that I can type really quickly, which really helps. And a lot of my writing is stream of consciousness. And The Artist's Way was amazing for starting that. And then doing improv comedy courses was amazing as well
Yes.
for letting it flow. And again, not thinking I've got to write this perfect thing, but more I'm going to write what I'm going to write. I feel like I can fix it up later and get into that. So yeah, I try and write a bit. I think COVID was a not a game changer, but COVID was great. The lockdowns, everything were really hard for a lot of people. I wrote so much. Like I had
Wow.
less school visits. I had more time. I was just here. I was writing. I was playing pool. I was, I just really got into it and started writing longer stuff like movies and things like that. So, yeah. So I try and write every day. And I think last year I wrote about 60 or 70 different things.
Wow.
I looked over there because that's where my computer usually is. I
Right.
couldn't
Your computer
actually
was
be
going to
talking
tell
on my
you.
computer right now.
You're looking at
Yeah.
your computer. Yeah.
That's where I type over there when I wrote the 60, 70 stories. And yeah, the 100 rejections, it was interesting because two of those were stories that I sent to my agent in New York that I love, like concepts really, that I loved. And they both got sent out to 40 publishers and or 42 and all got rejected by all of them. So, well, there's 84. Like in 5 minutes, there's 84 rejections. So that's not really quickly, but
Yeah, sure.
you gotta put it out there. You
Okay.
gotta
So when you were
get out
saying
there.
100 rejections, it wasn't 100 pieces of work, so to speak. It was
No.
right. Okay. It was
No.
that's many people rejected it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've probably got about, I reckon sitting there 10 or 15 projects that I really, really like
Yeah.
that I
And
would
that's hard,
love to
isn't it?
see.
It's hard when you love something and no one else does. You're like, come on, this is great.
It's so hard. And even sometimes when something gets published and you love it and you put so like your heart and soul into it and it goes okay or not well, then you get one published. Like, well, I mean, the How to Catch books, which I love, and obviously, wrote my best and tried really hard to write really well. Like How to Catch a Leprechaun, which is the first one. It was actually really cute. My niece was 12 at the time and she did all the research on leprechauns for me.
Oh, I
And
love
so
that.
she looked up what they like, what they don't like, so I could do all the traps. But wrote it. It was quick. Like it was half an hour an hour to actually write the story. Like it was quite quick. It flowed out really easily and I really enjoyed it. Sent it off and that changed my entire writing life. And I'm like,
Wow.
I sent it off and didn't think, like we edited obviously, but once it was done, I didn't think anything else of it. It wasn't like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I hope this goes okay. Like I've done with quite a few of my books that I just adore. This one was like, oh, it's really fun. Cool. What's next? And it's funny how often That is the way it happens when we don't have that neediness and clinginess. Oh my God, this has to do well. This has to do well. Please, 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 please. Where it's like, oh, that was awesome. I'm going to do something else. That's often the one that does actually
But
do
I also
well.
think that's also a really good tactic as a creative of anything because, I see people refreshing their feed. And I always say, if you're refreshing your feed to wait for a publisher, you are going to grow old lady because, or man, because publishers take a long time to get back to you. I
A
work,
long time.
I have a little bit of a side hustle in publishing and, you just get really busy. Like, oh, I've got to get back to that. So it's a lot going on. And so I think personally, don't waste your time refreshing, just write something else. So
Write something else.
my theory is write, submit, forget, repeat.
Perfect. And it's so good because often a publisher, like it may just be a straight no, but sometimes it'll be, it's a no. Have you got anything else? And if you haven't written, submit, forget, repeat, and write again, and you don't have anything else, that's it. Whereas if at least if you've got two or three other things, or even just one other thing, you can
Yeah,
at
you go,
least go,
oh, well, I've
yep, I've
got
got this.
this. Yeah,
Yeah. And then you can
exactly.
start writing something else at the same time as
Exactly.
that goes in. And yes,
I
we
forgot
will.
what I was going. Oh yeah, I was going to say. I think it's cool that you just kept writing, and you said you were just going to keep writing anyway because I truly believe that you never run out of ideas, and every word is going to lead to another good thing. I think all the things that I do, or even if I write something and never gets anywhere, like I wrote a 90,000 word crime novel which almost got somewhere but didn't get somewhere. I don't. People are like, oh my God. I'm like, no. Like, it's kind of made me write better, I hope, because
100%.
the more I think that's really good.
It's so true. And yeah, I am totally with you that I think you'll never run out of ideas because you kind of can't. Like even at a school, at one of the libraries I was at talking at today, a kid says something, I'm like, oh, that'd be a cool book. Done. Like it's just someone will say something, or think of something, or do something. And it doesn't mean you have to get a new idea every day either, because you're not going to do that necessarily, but you get 10 moments in a year when you get a really great inspiration. That's heaps. So if you can do that, you're going to be fine. And even writer's block, where writer's block is you can't write something. You can always write something. It doesn't, maybe not the one you're working on, but you can go and write something else. Or you can just journal, or there's always writing you can do. And so I think both of those things are ones that bring a lot of fear to writers, or it's almost an excuse sometimes. I didn't write today because I got writer's block. Just write.
Just
Just
write
write something.
something. And I
Anything.
like that stream of consciousness writing because even if you don't go, even if you can't use it, there's always some nugget of gold in there. There's something.
100%. Even if you just, so I don't know if people know like The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, which is amazing and I would recommend it to everybody. But she just does a thing, morning pages. So every morning, first 10 minutes, just get up, just write. It could be in a notebook or it could be on a computer. And you just write, and it might be, oh, today I'm going to go and do the grocery shopping and blah, 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 blah. But you're right. Suddenly it might go into so and so really annoyed me yesterday, and this is why, and blah, blah, blah. That's an idea. Like that moment
All
of being annoyed by
ideas.
someone, that could happen in the story. And so, yeah, I think I found that for me. I did it when I started writing. And then I also did it at least one more time. I went through the whole book, probably about 5 or 10 years later when I was in a bit of a rut. And it's just freeing. And it's about spoiling yourself and just writing, because just that act of writing, that act of pen on paper or fingers on keyboards,
I agree.
it's just things are happening and things will happen. And there's that idea that, we can sit around waiting for inspiration to happen, or we can just get to work and the inspiration will find us.
I think so
And
too.
I think
And I
that's
think
really nice.
creativity feeds creativity, right? So if you're
Yes.
always journaling or writing or thinking or rewriting or whatever, like creativity feeds creativity. So it comes to you more the more you are creative, I think.
Well, the wheels are turning. The wheels are turning and things are happening. And you're more open to ideas, I think, as well, where, yeah, you're editing something and then you see something else and then, oh, there's an idea, and you write it down. And so, yeah, I think you're right. And creativity for me, and it's different for everyone, but creativity for me is speed as well. And when you're moving and when you're doing things, it doesn't mean you have to write fast, but when it's happening and when you're thinking and talking and chatting, even today, like we could watch this back and go, that moment there would be a great little scene in a book. What can we do? Maybe not, but it doesn't matter. You're still open and looking at the different things. I mean, nothing we say would lead to a book, surely.
Or some sort of weird improv. We could randomly
Such
do
weird improv,
on the
the marriage
street
guy.
on Thursday night. We should do that. We are going to comedy on Thursday night. We should just randomly start doing
No, it's
improv in the
not
street.
Thursday night.
Oh, Friday
Is it
night.
Friday night?
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
some night this week.
Yeah. I am going to comedy on Thursday night. You can come along if you want. I got free tickets to, I'm going to call it Drunk Shakespeare.
Oh,
Are
that's
you?
what I went to last year. It was
Yes.
excellent.
That's why I took the tickets, because you said
It
it was so
was
good. So I'm going
so
on Thursday
good.
night.
Oh, wow. It's really fun. Yeah, you'll love it. Otherwise, what play are they doing?
Macbeth.
Oh, okay, because I saw Romeo and Juliet and
Ah, cool.
it was fabulous. So yes, I cannot wait for you to tell me about that.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Yeah, and then we're going on Friday, and I have no idea what we're even seeing, to be honest. I can't remember.
Me neither, to be honest. So it'll be fine. It'll be fun.
We'll be funny enough anyway.
If it's boring, we'll just stand up in the theater and we'll just start improving. We'll see
We
how
thought it was called
quickly.
stand-up comedy.
We'll
We
see
stood
how
up.
quickly we get kicked out, shall we?
Challenge accepted.
I would love to thank my wonderful guest, Adam Wallace, for a wonderful creative conversation as we were talking about Zen and being authentic and nothing is good or bad. My phone wouldn't stop ringing through this interview, so you may have noticed the conversation ended a little bit abruptly. I had to go and pick up my daughter from her gymnastics class because she had split her head open on a balance beam. So I spent my night in the treatment room getting her glued back together. The good news is she's fine, back at gymnastics. You won't see the scar, it's on the back of her head. But I thought that I would be honest about why this conversation ended abruptly. Another one, I thought, should we do a proper ending? And we went, nah, let's be really honest and authentic because that's what we talked about in our interview. And so that's what happened. That's what happens when you're a parent. When you're a mother and you're trying to multitask and do all sorts of creative things. So the good news is, if we're looking at things sort of good and bad, she's fine. And I think this interview was a lot of fun. So thank you for listening.